Blog Talk Radio. Canned Laughter and Coffee with Renee Bernard. Women's fiction, romance, and laughter.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Canned Laughter and Coffee with Renee Bernard. And I'm happy to say that I am Renee Bernard, so that works out perfectly. It was just amazing how that just fits and just the universe aligns on Tuesdays, so it's all good. And tonight our guest was going to be Teresa Medeiros, but I think that gremlins have stolen her away, and actually there was probably a huge snafu with scheduling. So the bonus, Garrett, is we get to talk about Teresa Medeiros.
All right.
So you are probably not familiar with Teresa, but she is phenomenal. She's actually a New York Times and USA Today best-selling author, so she's one of those authors you, like, most want to be when you're a writer. Or at least me. She's on my list of, like, oh, wouldn't that be great to be Teresa Medeiros? Sigh. But she's got a new book out called The Devil Wears Plaid, and it's about a Highlander named Jamie Sinclair. Although I will confess that when I close my eyes and I hear the words The Devil Wears Plaid, I do think of a guy in golf pants. But that's only because, I don't know, something's wrong with my brain lately, and I just cannot seem to get into the zone with the Scottish stuff. Or maybe I've seen too many Will Ferrell movies, so that's what it is.
I don't know. When I close my eyes, the first thing I think of is, you know, plaid shirts, because, well, I come from Northern California, so I think of lumberjacks. You know, but that actually works together just perfectly. I mean, I'm totally cool with the title, you know.
Yeah. I can see the devil being a logger. I don't know why, but yeah, that would totally work for me if he was into logging and, you know, and golfing. I'm sure he golfs also. And he's a busy guy. There's a lot to do. I think the devil, I'm sure, is like a full-time job. So The Devil Wears Plaid, just so you know, got 4.5 stars in RT's book reviews, which is like woo, and just so much fun. And it's also a top pick, which means that if you've got a limited budget out there, listeners, and you could only buy so many books in the month of September, this one is on your list, or it should be on your list, because it just looks very good. So here's the little two-paragraph summary. So to save her father from debtor's prison, that is so sweet, Emmeline Marlowe stands in church ready to wed the elderly head of the Hepburn clan when Jamie Sinclair rides his stallion to the abbey. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh. I'm not laughing at. That's just so amazingly, astonishingly classic that I'm getting all giggly and weird. Okay. And lifts her up in the saddle and steals her away. Wow. So apparently, he's just using her as a pawn in his plans for revenge. Oh, my.
Uh-oh.
That always, that works. You know, that is just so sexy and fun.
I was about to say, you guys are not going to read a romance novel if it's got some kind of sinister twist in it, right?
Well, there always has to be. You have to have a bad guy or a twist or something fun, absolutely. And, you know, if there are no obstacles or no twists, there has to be something that keeps them apart. Otherwise, it's pretty much over by, page 31. You know, so you've got to have some twist.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's my perception that girls, when they read romance novels, they like drama, they like twists that make them stressed out. I mean, like, my girlfriend, when she's watching something on TV, it's like, you know, I can see her clenching up, and she gets really intense, and that's how I know she's enjoying it. With guys, they don't like it. They don't like drama. They don't like the intensity. I mean, the guys have romance novels, but they're a lot shorter, and they're about the size of a magazine, and they're very questionable.
I don't think those are actually romance. I think that that's a completely different category. But same end result probably. So it's all good. I've never really heard that before, that men don't like the intensity. That's interesting.
Oh no, we like intensity. We just don't like intense complications.
I see what you're saying.
Right,
oh, that's a different ball game entirely. Yes, of course. In real life, yes, I can see how drama is actually not a desirable element in a lot of relationships. So the less drama, the better. But no, and I think that actually Teresa's like really well known for that drama, for storytelling and for sort of drawing things out and the characters being just really compelling. And, you know, so that there's so much more to it than just a straightforward line. You're really drawn in and it's very three-dimensional. And so she's got a real knack for it, I must say. And she's written medieval and I think she's in a lot of different time periods, so she's just really skillful at jumping all over the board. What? Mm-hmm. What? Would you all get your toes?
No, I'm good.
Okay, just checking. Garrett's house-sitting everybody, and he's babysitting Jack and Jill. And for our regular listeners, they know exactly who I'm talking about, and the toe comment made perfect sense. So please don't send me strange emails.
I have that Jill safely stored upstairs. So she can't get to my toe at the moment.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Okay, I love it. So, yes, and like I said, and I do want to apologize for the golf pant comment, because that might come back and haunt me a little bit. But it's true, it's Will Ferrell's fault, because I saw the other guys last night, so that just kept me up. You know, what can I say? Are you a Will Ferrell fan?
Can you
be glad
in that?
I believe he did. I believe he did. And he just needs to keep clothes on. Will Ferrell needs, unlike all these other handsome, wonderful covers, Will Ferrell must keep clothes on.
He's not really cover model material, huh?
No, but he seems to be very happy to take his shirt off. Do you know what I mean? He's just really not self-conscious at all and just whoosh, off it comes. But Mark Wahlberg, on the other hand, very cute and kept his shirt on. On and Dwayne Johnson was in it briefly, and so was Samuel L. Jackson. So they
all
had
right.
Yes, oh yeah. They're only in it briefly, but it was nice eye candy for the first 6 minutes of the film.
So now they ask you, was Will Ferrell like funny because everybody else was upset with him, or was he like actually funny on his own?
Oh, I'm going to have to say that it was a little bit of a combination, but Will Ferrell is funny and disturbing all on his own. I think that you could put Will Ferrell alone in a white room with nothing, and I think that he would just, you couldn't look away. You would just be drawn in to the psychotic insanity that is his brain. And no offense to the writers of this film, because I'm a writer, but I really felt like a lot of this film was not, in fact, on the page. That they just let it go. Do you know what I mean? Like, Will just goes, and Mark Wahlberg, and the cast, Rob Riggle, all these, they just start talking, and they just let the camera go. And some of it was scripted, but some of it, I'm thinking, not so much. Yeah.
I'm noticing a pattern with these romance novels. A lot of times, a guy, and he's usually very dangerous, and he usually has an agenda. That's a common thread that I've been noticing. If you weren't trying to either marry this guy or get some of him, would you want to be around him? Are these admirable guys, you know, when they're not being a target of or pursuing a girl in outside the romance setting?
Yeah, that is a fantastic question. I think that on the surface, I mean, on the backs, I mean, they describe him as very dangerous and he's dark, or this or that. But truthfully, in these books, there is always something redeeming about them. It's kind of like a hedgehog, you know, prickly outside but soft, sweet little underbelly that only, you know, she gets to know. So I think that as men, they do intrinsically have to be heroic in some way. They can't just be a highwayman. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
He's a highwayman, but he's, you know, actually forfeited his title and is trying to seek revenge on the guy that, you know, did this or that, or, you know, and he never actually hurts anybody. He, you know, is very clever about how he does it or this or that. So it's like they have the guise of danger, and there might actually be some danger if they're, I don't know, involved in spy intrigue or something going on, that sort of thing. But it's always for the right. there's always a cause. There's always something good going on behind the scenes. And if you don't have that, then no. A, they're not the hero. They're the villain. And I agree. I don't think that that's the guy you'd want to most hang out with.
Right.
You know, in a room.
Which gives me the question. I mean, when I was at RT, there was a lot of discussion about, there was a lot of things, but the one I heard a lot of was Bad Boys. And I was trying to think to myself, because you know, I'm a guy, like, well, do I want to, like, go home and start being a douche around my girlfriend and that'll, like, make her happy?
No.
Guy?
When we use the phrase bad boys, it's not like that cops, you know, bad boys. But no. We don't want to see you in your underwear spread out, you know, on the ground and yelling at profanities because you're a pimp or whatever. No.
No,
I think when in romance, when we say bad boys, I think we want, you know, like I said, that it's an illusion of danger. It's an illusion of that. And,
right.
You know, you might be a Navy SEAL or a Black Ops or something, but you're on the side of the right kind of thing.
Right.
And I think also there's a little bit of a,
Bad meaning good.
Bad meaning good, yeah. I mean, we want him to be powerful and strong, protective, you know, be able to really handle himself enough, you know, to be able to defend her or to, you know, save the day. So there's that element of strength that you're looking for. So that's not a wimpy guy. That's not a librarian. You know, you want that. That's very attractive. But you don't want a bully. There's no bullying. There's no, you know, there is never violence toward her. There's never that, ever.
Even I can figure that one out.
Yeah, that one's pretty straightforward. And the other element, because I hope we're not running out of time, but I will tell you this, and that is the big element of bad boy is that rake or that libertine. And if you look in the romance novels, again, you know, we're looking for a certain sense of, and remember, it's fiction, it's fantasy, but women admire because we don't have it, I think, still.
Oh.
There's an unevenness. We admire that sensual, sexual prowess, that sense of power and that sense of comfortableness with that. And so I think women are very envious of that. And so in a hero, they really like him to know what he's doing and be very comfortable with himself in that arena and use that almost as a weapon in a lot of ways.
Really,
and so women are like, oh, I wish I could.
Novel? You think Teresa really brings that through with her novels?
I think, yeah. I have to say, Jamie Sinclair, he got a KISS award for being quite the hero. But I think, yes, it looks like Jamie Sinclair. Are you kidding me? Carrying her off and using her in his life. He appears to know exactly what he's doing, so he gets to be a bad boy. I mean, in a good way. So there you go, Teresa. I'm sorry. We talked about everything in the world, but I hope we talked about The Devil Wears Plaid. Everybody go over to Teresa's website and say hello. And thank you so much, Carrot, for hanging out with me. And everybody, I will see you next week for more canned laughter and coffee. And next week we will behave, and we will not talk about golf pants. I hereby promise. Okay, everybody, good night.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe, and welcome to our circle.